It's that time of year. You see the signs for flu shot clinics going up all over the province. It's also that time when parents are encouraged to make sure that their kids' standard vaccinations are up to date. But is it time to go a step farther with all of this and make certain vaccinations mandatory? BC tried it with the flu shot for frontline healthcare workers last year and failed. Ontario and New Brunswick will not let parents register their children for school without proof that they have had measles vaccines. Today, we're asking you what you think with Professor Ubaka Ogbagu. He's from the Faculties of Law and Pharmacy at the University of Alberta. Professor Ogbagu delivered a lecture on mandatory immunization for all childhood infectious diseases recently at the University of Toronto Faculty of Law. Professor Ogbagu has researched these topics extensively, and he's my guest to take your calls today, as well as your emails and tweets. So give us a call and tell us, what do you think? Should certain vaccinations for infectious diseases, in cases where vaccinations have proved effective against these diseases, be mandatory? 1-866-468-4422. Do you think we should follow what BC tried to do, but unsuccessfully last year, but maybe do it differently, and insist that flu vaccines should be given to all frontline healthcare professionals, maybe even other public service workers as well? Give us a call and tell us what you think. 1-866-468-4422. Do you like what Ontario and New Brunswick have done when it comes to certain childhood vaccines? Should we be doing that here? You can also send an email to alberta@noon@cbc.ca or a tweet to alberta@noon. Good afternoon, Professor Ogbagu, and thank you for being with us today.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on.
Well, I know that this is a big topic, and we're going to try and break it down. Let's start first, though, with the flu vaccine, because the flu clinics are going up all over the place. What happened last year in British Columbia?
The British Columbia government decided to make flu vaccines mandatory for our frontline healthcare workers. The reasoning being that these are the people who are most likely, most capable of transmitting the disease, especially to those who are considered to be particularly vulnerable to the flu, such as the elderly, infants, toddlers, pregnant women, and those suffering from chronic illnesses such as cancer. So the BC government thought perhaps that frontline healthcare workers should be made to get the vaccine or have to stay home and not come to work. The measure turned out to be very controversial. It was challenged by many, including the healthcare workers themselves and workers' union. And even though ultimately the measure proved successful to some extent, it did increase vaccination rates among the healthcare workers. There was a lot of questions around whether this should have been made mandatory, especially given the fact that these workers themselves are not necessarily at high risk for the disease. So one might argue that they were being asked to submit to a mandatory measure, not for their own sake, but for the sake of others.
Okay, so it didn't work when it came to the flu shot. But something a little bit different in Ontario and New Brunswick are vaccinations for infectious and serious childhood diseases such as measles. And those two provinces say you cannot register your child for school unless you make sure your child has been vaccinated against these things, unless, of course, there's underlying health reasons why they can't be. But what do you make of that policy, Professor Ogbagu?
I think it's a step in the right direction. I should point out very quickly that parents can also claim an exemption from that policy on religious grounds or for philosophical reasons. So it's not quite as foolproof mandatory as one would expect. But I think a measure like that makes a lot of sense, especially given the fact that mandatory vaccinations for childhood diseases does increase vaccination rates. And most vaccines for childhood diseases have been shown, there's significant and overwhelming evidence that they are safe and effective and a beneficial option. Vaccinations provide the best protection for these childhood diseases. And it makes a lot of sense to have mandatory measures where there's overwhelming or significant evidence of benefit to the general population. the more people get vaccinated, if there's widespread coverage, the more we're able to avoid diseases such as measles, which can be quite deadly and have very, very significant effects on those who are vulnerable, like children.
Professor Ogbogu, what illnesses do you think we should be vaccinated against here in Alberta?
Well, all vaccines are not created equal, and all illnesses and the way vaccines respond to those illnesses are certainly not equal. For all childhood infectious diseases, I will say there's overwhelming evidence of benefit to the population. And so diseases like measles and chickenpox, certainly we should be moving towards making sure that everyone in the population is vaccinated, except, of course, if there's a medical reason not to get vaccinated. I don't think philosophical or religious objections should really play a role here. And I think there's a strong argument that could be made that for diseases like such as that, that the public interest in making sure that we avoid these infectious diseases is stronger than any individual reason that someone might have for wanting to avoid the vaccine. However, for the flu vaccine, there are at least three reasons why I do not think that making flu vaccines mandatory is the best policy option. For one, the flu vaccine differs from other type of vaccines that confer long-lasting immunity once you have completed the doses, such as the measles vaccine. If you get the two doses of the measles vaccine, you get about 98% protection, and you're very unlikely to develop measles, at least not the kind that will cause grave consequences. However, the flu virus usually changes from year to year, and so the vaccines for the flu are updated to cover new strains that come into circulation. Also, the effects of the flu vaccine can wear off, which means that you have to get a yearly booster. So that's one reason that I don't think, you know, we should make the flu vaccine mandatory. The second reason is that protection from the flu through the flu vaccine is actually not a slam dunk. In healthy adults, the rate of efficacy varies among individuals. Studies have shown that the rate of efficacy ranges from 50% to around 80%. And may even be lower depending on whether the vaccine matches the virus strains that are circulating at any point in time. So my point here is that the flu vaccine does not provide full protection from the flu. One can still get the flu even if they get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you don't think that the flu vaccine should be mandatory for the reasons that you've laid out, but you do think that childhood vaccines such as measles should be?
Absolutely. I think I will support a measure that actually says that every infant, unless there's a medical reason, should get vaccinated for those childhood infectious diseases. I think the Ontario and New Brunswick measures do help, but they don't go quite far enough.
How far could we go with something like this, do you think?
I think we could require that infants get vaccinated within the first year of birth. So they follow the schedule that's set out by public health authorities, and we make it mandatory for infants to get vaccinated, unless there's good reason to believe that there's a medical reason to believe that a child shouldn't get vaccinated.
We have people who'd like to speak to this, but just on this point, because it's an interesting one, I'm wondering, given your expertise in law and pharmacy and pharmacology, I'm just wondering how far should we hold parents accountable if they don't do such a thing? Like, what should be the sanctions against not doing such a thing?
Well, one would hope that we don't have to get to the point where we have to impose sanctions. I think one of the things that a mandatory policy will do is increase awareness about vaccinations. I believe that law can force us to think about our actions, and people don't necessarily want to do something that's against the law. So I think even if we don't necessarily impose sanctions on parents, I think just knowing that something is mandatory and required by law will encourage parents to try and seek out information that will lead to getting their children vaccinated. The problem we have right now is that with the childhood vaccines, especially the measles vaccine, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And parents rely on this misinformation to make decisions regarding whether or not to get their children vaccinated. However, if you say the policy is mandatory, parents might want to seek out information to try and avoid breaking the law. So one will hope that we don't get the sanctions. Historically, the sanction has basically been a slap on the wrist. The parents are made to pay a fine. And that might very well be the case here. But I think there's something to be said for not breaking the law. And we live in a society where people generally respect the law. And it's been shown that mandatory policies do increase awareness and the rate of vaccinations compared to other measures such as education. There are studies that show that education is not very effective because people just, their beliefs become more entrenched against vaccination.
That's fascinating stuff. Now, we have a lot of people who'd like to weigh in on this. And I want to remind you, if you haven't called yet, you may at 1-866-468-4422. You can send an email to alberta@noon@cbc.ca or tweet to alberta@noon. My guest today is Professor Ubaka Agbagu. He's an assistant professor and the Cates Research Fellow at both the faculties of law and pharmacy and pharmacology at the University of Alberta. And we will go first to Donald, who is calling from Ceiba Beach. Hello, Donald. What are your thoughts on this?
I just had a quick parallel to make, and then I'll hang up and listen to the professor. I had an uncle who returned from the war, a decorated flyer who'd been decorated by King George in person twice. He had a big job lined up with the airline, and he tested positive for TB. There was a shadow on his lung. So two armed guards met him in the harbor in Halifax, and he had to go to a sanatorium because tuberculosis is such an infectious disease. And there were no ifs, ands, or buts. It's just common sense.
Interesting.
And I don't know why these diseases like meningitis and swine flu and things should be treated any differently. And I think the experts, like the professor and the doctors who study the diseases, should be the ones who are listened to, and not, for instance, airheads like Jenny McCarthy, who inveigh against vaccinations, who are completely ignorant of them. And tuberculosis is such an infectious disease that you could be standing 8 feet away from someone in a bus and get it. And page forward 40 years, my younger brother...
Donald, our phone line is breaking up just a little bit, but why don't we deal with the first point that you made, and that is when it comes to known quantities like things like tuberculosis or measles, like Donald is saying, he basically supports what you're suggesting with infectious diseases among children, I guess,
right.
Professor.
So. Right. I think he makes a very good point here, which is that the reason why we're even having this debate is that because we've had vaccinations and vaccinations have helped us to not see these diseases. Some of us who are alive today don't have an actual experience of the havoc that these diseases could wreak on our society. It is certainly a good thing that this invention called vaccination or immunization has brought us to the point where some of us don't even know what it feels like to have measles or to have smallpox or to have some of these diseases. But we shouldn't take that protection for granted. There's certainly reason for us to support measures that will ensure optimal coverage in situations where there's overwhelming or very significant evidence to show that the vaccine is safe and effective. Last year, for example, if you look at the statistics on safety, which seems to be one of the issues that parents fear the most, if you look at adverse events in relation to childhood vaccinations, it's little to no adverse events. And I think that we shouldn't just pursue vaccinations alone. There's certainly a need for more education, more boots on the ground, basic public health measures. But vaccinations have been so useful, and we shouldn't forget that the only reason we're having this debate, we're not having these diseases wreak havoc on our society, is because we've had vaccinations.
All right. We'll hear from a few of our listeners, and then we'll get your reaction, Professor Agbagu. We'll go to Tony now, who's calling from Calgary. Tony, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I guess I agree that most of us should have a sense of social responsibility. You know, the efficacy of these vaccines is heavily related to the herd immunity, as it were, that if you vaccinate 95% of the people, you'll, you know, minimize the potential for transmission. But statistically, there is a percentage of the population who react negatively to vaccines, and they react negatively in a big way. It's devastating to their lives, seizures and all that kind of stuff. It's statistically very small, but truth of the matter is, it's what differentiates these people from the rest of us is not understood. And when any one of us walks up for a vaccine, it's essentially playing Russian roulette. And I, you know, it's not like I didn't have my vaccine. It's not like my kids haven't had their vaccines. But I chose to roll the barrel of that gun. I guess I don't agree that there should be a law that says spin the barrel, pull the trigger. It just doesn't seem possible, especially for, you know, government workers. It's like, well, what if one of them reacts negatively? Is the government on the hook for the, you know, their inability to work for the rest of their lives or whatever, you know? So I can't see a law being in place. I can't.
Tony, thank you for expressing your views on this. It's a good point you're making. And Debbie is calling now from Calgary. Hello, Debbie. What would you like to say?
I get very passionate with the debate on vaccinations. I agree 100% that vaccination should be mandatory for everybody, and especially with children and with frontline workers too. And it frustrates me because when these children are sick, where do the parents take the children? But to the emergency, and are spreading, you know, measles or whatever around everybody, which they could have been prevented by a simple vaccination. And I think that parents should be 100% responsible and do their part by vaccinating their kids.
Debbie, just to play devil's advocate and to pick up on something Tony was saying earlier, do you think, though, that there should be some opportunities for parents to opt out, whether for...
Absolutely not.
So not for philosophical or potentially devastating health?
Absolutely not. When way back when vaccinations were brought out, it was, if you look in the history, I've researched vaccinations and everything, there was a grid that was created, and all the kids were, it was mandatory, they went into schools, they were vaccinated, and when they vaccinated, it created a grid, and the smallpox was diminished, and all these diseases were diminished. But what's happening now is by opting out on vaccines, we are breaking down this grid, and we are seeing outbreaks of measles and whooping cough and all that stuff because we have broken down this grid that back in the 60s was so it was...
Thank you very much for expressing your view and doing it so passionately. And Professor Ogbogu, I want to get you back in here, but let's hear from one more listener and then I'll get your reaction because there's a lot to comment on here. And Diana is calling now from Edmonton. Hello, Diana.
Hi.
What are your thoughts on this? Hi.
So mainly I do have here a question. I agree to all the listeners in one way, shape or form that have called in already. So I have to mention my kids are vaccinated because I see this is the latest and the most hottest subject here. So my kids are vaccinated, are up to date with the vaccination. I lived in Ontario, but then I come back and I say, couldn't there be any connection between the amount of allergies that we have to deal with? Because the amount of vaccines that are on the market for a kid that is just no bigger than a loaf of bread up to the late age of one, you know. I mean, it's growing and growing a little bit. And then you put vaccines after the vaccines. And statistics have shown also that the vaccines, multiple vaccines being administered in the same shot may not be as effective as administered one by one because the immune system is not reacting properly equally to all four of them at the same in the same shot. So... couldn't be any connection in between the amount of vaccines that we have to administer to the kids and the amount of allergies that we have to put up with, because allergy is a misfiring of the immune system and vaccines are tampering with the immune system.
That's an interesting point, Diana, and I want to pick up on that with you, Professor Ogbogu, as well as Tony's earlier comment that, you know, there is nothing to say that somebody might have a very adverse reaction, whether it is an allergy like Diana was talking about or you know, what Tony was suggesting there, because it's hard to know unless you've had the reaction whether or not you're going to react badly.
Right. Let me comment first on Tony's description of the view one should take to vaccinations. I think it's not quite accurate to say that it's like Russian roulette. That's not the case. It is true that there might be a medical reason why someone should not receive a particular vaccine. It is also true that someone might have a reaction to a particular vaccine. However, for most of us in the population, for let me take on childhood vaccines, for example. For most children, the side effects are monitored and they are addressed year to year. There's a recording of adverse events, and public health officials work really hard to try and describe what kind of situations a particular child should not be getting vaccinated or not. For most people in the population, for majority of people in the population, vaccines don't create any problems. As I said before, last year, the Public Health Agency of Canada did not record any adverse events for childhood vaccinations other than minor irritations and, having a needle go into a child's body, for example. So it is not accurate to say that when you submit yourself to vaccination, you're playing Russian roulette. But another way to look at Tony's point, that is whether there should be a vaccine injury compensation scheme in place in Canada for those who do get injured by getting vaccinated. I think there should be. Canada is one of two G8 countries, the other one is Russia, that do not have any form of vaccine injury compensation scheme in place. Quebec is the only province in Canada that has something of that nature, but other provinces don't have any such program in place.
What does it say, just briefly, in Quebec?
Well, in Quebec, they have a scheme where if you get vaccinated and get injured as a result of the vaccination, you can receive compensation from the government, and you don't have to go through the court system to prove that somebody has been negligent, whether in the production of the vaccine or as a result of the administration of the vaccine. So it makes it easier for those who are injured by receiving vaccines to get compensated without having to go through the court system, mm-hmm. which can be quite onerous for somebody and expensive as well. So if we have a vaccine injury compensation scheme in place, I think it will build more confidence in the system. But it is not accurate to say it is playing Russian roulette when you go to get vaccinated.
Okay.
Now, with the other point, I think the connection to allergies, that's also not been shown to be the case. There's simply no scientific evidence to back that statement up. But more importantly, I think the comment does show that there's a trust issue here. Some members of the public do not seem to trust our public health system and our public health officials and the messages that are communicating about the evidence of safety or efficacy around these vaccines. And so more work needs to be done to get the message out to the public that this is what the case is, and the government should be forthcoming when there are serious adverse events or when something goes wrong with vaccines, because there's a fundamental trust issue at play here, and that shouldn't be the case.
That's another big topic, and unfortunately, I think I'll only have time to share this tweet from Netoyen, who says, of course, frontline healthcare workers should be vaccinated. If you care about your patients, you should get a flu shot. And Professor Ogbogu, this is a very controversial topic amongst our listeners. Many people want to weigh in, and unfortunately, we don't have enough time today, but we invite them to call our talkback line, 1-800-461-9219. Our apologies to those of you if you did try to get on and you didn't make it on. You can also send an email to albertaatnoon@cbc.ca or a tweet to albertaatnoon. Thank you, Professor.
Thank you for having me on.
That's Professor Ubaka Ogbogu, an assistant professor and the Cates Research Fellow at both the Faculty of Law and Pharmacy at the U of A.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.